Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to talk a lot of politics. Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is TMCC political science professor Fred Locken, and we're going to talk about Carson City and Washington, D.C.
It's all coming up on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Fred Locken. He is professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam.
Doris Kearns Goodwin getting a lot of attention for her new book on Roosevelt. And, you know, recently back in D.C. looking at the Lincoln Memorial. You know, do we have politicians of the stature of those politicians today?
Few and far between. Frankly, the reality of the American Republic has been the decline in the quality of leadership through most of its existence. And I've often wondered about the morass that we find ourselves in today. I mean, most citizens get it. They know that things are broken. And I think all of us have a value system of wanting the future for the next generation to be as great as it can be. But the disconnect that we have is we don't have political leadership that kind of connects the dots and galvanizes us and give us, we have nothing that we seem to stand for. We have nothing that we seem to believe in today. And that's where leadership is so critical. And the crisis of leadership is from the top all the way down to the bottom. And we are paying a very heavy price. The best and the brightest no longer come to politics.
Isn't part of it, though, that back in the old days, you know, if you go back to the 1700s, the 1800s, you had the weekly newspaper or maybe even a daily newspaper. You didn't have all the different information sources that you have today. People sat down to watch the evening news at 6:30 at night for 15 minutes when it first started, and then eventually the national news got to be 30 minutes. But, you know, there were one or two choices. Now, because everything is so fragmented, doesn't that make it just that much harder for anybody to connect with anybody?
Well, the quality of the media has declined greatly, and news, which was intended to be objective and plentiful to make for a rational set of decision makings, disappeared with the arrival of the newsroom revolution.
Oh, now hang on. There's a great book called Nevada Newspaper Days that talks about how in Eureka, Nevada, before an election in the 1800s, there were five newspapers. The day after the election, they all went out of business because they were all supporting different candidates. So I don't know that, you know, objectivity has always been the credo of the newspaper industry.
And we certainly have stories, you know, the Spanish-American War, trumped up by the Eastern press and things like that. But you had a more attentive public that was engaged. The tragedy is that we probably never had more information available. I'll bypass often broadcasts and go straight to the internet. They're remarkable sources and you build trust in them. But not many of our citizens do. Less and less of our citizenry is actually paying attention. The cynicism towards politics seemingly begins at birth and is reinforced throughout their lifetimes. And so we've never produced such a disengaged electorate. We live the fantasy of wanting to broaden the franchise, but we have fewer and fewer participating or even understanding. Americans really stand out internationally in our lack of an understanding of our political process, a lack of our engagement, and any kind of an awareness of what goes on beyond our borders. And those are all sort of tragedies that come together in the 21st century and put us in a very bad spot, because what passes for truth in 2013 is a scary thing when we talk about politics.
Well, you know, Fred, I look at it from a media point of view, and anyone who runs for any office, their personal lives are turned upside down and in and out. And you talk about Doris Kearns Goodwin and Roosevelt. You know, back in Roosevelt's day, the media, mostly newspaper people, they didn't do stories about his affairs. The media didn't do stories about the many affairs of John F. Kennedy. You know, they were concerned about foreign policy, perhaps more than Marilyn Monroe or any other woman that he's been linked to. And I think that, you know, nowadays, if you want to run for office and you were busted for pot when you were 18 years old, I mean, you're out of the running, you know, because that's all going to come up and rehash, and you're going to have to answer questions about it, and you're going to have to say, well, yes, but I didn't inhale or something
that. Yeah, but let me jump in here. The difference is that now you have a president of the United States, President Obama, who took care of all that by writing a book prior to running for president where he talked about smoking pot. I mean, I think if you put it all on the table, then there's nothing for the opposition to go after.
That can be a strategy. You know, the simple reality is that one observation is that most of our leadership, in fact, some of our best leadership, has been, frankly, very flawed. They've been very human, and they have done things that, in the light of day, would be hard to justify or explain. Prior to Watergate, there was a code that press used that, in essence, unless they saw that it directly impacted on the performance of the presidency or whatever the legislative role might be or leadership role might be, they would not report on it. And, of course, then everybody felt like they had done a poor job and Watergate happened. And after Watergate now, we look for every wart. And no matter how hard they try to vet, the press seems to be able to find something even more dastardly. We have had Sarah Palin or any number of individuals that it just comes gushing forth, and it absolutely is, I agree, destroys. It is certainly one of the reasons why for many people, because we all make mistakes, that we don't want to become that type of public figure and just have it, you know, embarrassing ourselves, embarrassing our families. On the other hand, I don't know that the old practice made a whole lot of sense either. There are some really terrible things. I mean, we have Herbert Hoover in his red dress going around Washington. We have a remarkable connection between the mob and John Kennedy. We have affairs galore by Eisenhower and Roosevelt, and apparently all the way back to Jefferson. That difficult balance of what should the public know about the individual is something I think we've struggled with as a republic.
All right, let's take a break. More with Fred Locken when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Fred Locken. He's professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College.
Fred, let me change the subject to state politics. And I was reading the Las Vegas Sun early this week, and I came across a story in which you were quoted on, and you mentioned that you thought that Governor Sandoval was like a Teflon governor that things don't stick to. And I thought it was a very interesting quote. We have you here today. Could you maybe explain it?
Well, I think all politicians dream to become a Brian Sandoval or a Ronald Reagan. I don't think any of us understand the chemistry or the magic that allows it to happen, but there are individuals that are so immediately at face value accepted as credible that even when things happen that create dissonance to that, they let it go. It doesn't get used over and over. Some thought, I think, for a while that Barack Obama had this quality, but I think with Obamacare, we have certainly understood that there are clearly limits to it. But there were any number of issues that hounded Ronald Reagan, or should have, that people just simply let go because the individual was likable. And it is that special relationship that Brian Sandoval established in his campaign with the citizenry of Nevada that I think allows him more latitude than most politicians, and I think always will. I think this is something that he will carry forward in his career. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it allows you to, frankly, stay effective, to stay relevant. For politicians that don't have it, you're always one scandal, one issue away from diminishment. And so that's why I say, you know, the Teflon term was coined for Reagan. I think Sandoval is one of those rare politicians that carries the quality.
But I think the other thing, too, is that he has a very carefully guarded image, that you don't see him very much on programs like this. We're talking to Sean Whaley the other day about when was the last time he was at the editorial board for the Las Vegas Review Journal. It's been a long while. Same thing at the Reno Gazette Journal.
It was last summer. Mm-hmm. Not this last summer, but the summer of 2012, the last time that Governor Sandoval spoke to the RGJ.
And what's interesting about it is that there is nobody better at doing an interview and then staying on message than Brian Sandoval. You know, we hosted the debates here for the election, and, you know, it didn't matter what you came up with, he would stick to the message, he would stick to the point. And, I mean, he has a lot of interesting things to talk about, this recent trade mission to Israel. I'd love to be able to sit down and talk to him about that and what was accomplished. We know that the Southern Nevada Water Authority has had a long relationship with the Israeli government and Israeli industry. And yet, even the positive opportunities don't seem to be taken in terms of him coming out. And I'm not saying anything bad about anybody that's around him. They're all good people, but we call up and they say, well, you know, we're just trying to find a date, and the time slips away and slips away. And if we get much further away, then it's going to be the election cycle and he ain't going to be showing up anywhere.
Well, this is certainly a very crafted environment that the governor lives in. Clearly, they're into risk management, although the interactions, of course, could deeply enhance and improve his image. Your eyes one misspoken quote away from problems. And so, you know, frankly, everything's going well. The popularity rating is high. Citizens are very satisfied. There's a sense of leadership. He's getting national play. And so I think they feel their strategy is working just fine.
Okay, there's a lot of talk about Sandoval taking on U.S. Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. The debate is, will he or won't he get in the race? But what if there was a Sandoval-Reid race in 2016? Who's going to win that, Fred?
Well, some are suggesting that the notion that Sandoval might go head-to-head with Reid may force Reid to consider whether or not retirement is in his future. Sandoval is at face value a formidable
people who
candidate.
Say that don't know Harry Reid.
I understand.
I mean, as
I
a young man, you. He was a boxer, and he's never given up that.
Nope. And he's a great scrapper in campaigns. I mean, he never gave up in the Engel campaign, and he always knew his 6% margin. But there is that issue, that give and take. It will be a very expensive campaign. It'll be, I suspect, a pretty brutal and, at occasion, nasty campaign.
And what happens to Republicans for Reid in a campaign like that?
A real dilemma, don't you think? Sandoval, especially if Sandoval could move more to the middle. All of our Republican elected leadership is in this great dilemma, you know, pick any one of them, of to what extent do you pander to the right, where clearly a lot of the financing comes. If you're going to face a primary, you've got to have their support, versus the unpalatable agenda of the right that does not work.
And what about looking at, if Harry Reid's not there, then Chuck Schumer takes his place, and how good is that for Nevada?
That could be very good for Nevada. The reality, though, is that I think we've always wondered, we've been waiting for the shoe to drop. What was the logic of someone to give up a lifetime appointment on the federal bench? And the maneuverings that have brought Governor Sandoval into office and literally positioned himself, what is the goal? Well, we know the goal has either been landing some type of role in a Republican administration that wins the presidency, or the U.S. Senate. And since the Republicans don't seem to be faring too well in column A, I think the focus has moved to column B and taking on Harry Reid. But that will be the campaign that we all talk about the remainder of our lives.
Let's take a break. More with Fred Locken when we come back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Very little happens without trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We got him for the whole show here, Fred Locken, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Now, in talking about a Sandoval-Reed race, are we discounting at this point the fact that Nevada continues to push further into the blue column? It's still a battleground state, but doesn't that give one pause for thought? And does one want to have a failed U.S. Senate race on one's resume?
Precisely. In all of these, we're so far away yet from that race. There are so many factors that have to come back together. I mean, will the economy of Nevada continue to recover? What will happen to the state Republican Party and the state Democratic Party? Because the Democratic Party, although it's far better organized, does not seem to have succeeded in galvanizing what demographics suggests is the future of Nevada. And perhaps the 2016 election could be this incredible shift in Nevada's politics squarely into the blue column, in which case candidates like Reed will be able to ride that. And he's so masterful in the way that he designs things. He'll be the driving force between now and 2016 in trying to make that happen. But those are critical, and you don't afford to take too many missteps in politics. I mean, the money goes away very quickly, and without the money, you can't succeed. But again, he does seem to have a very solid advising team. There is a strong force that is in his corner, and I think that they've made mostly good steps in whatever direction it's going to be.
You know, you talk about the state turning blue as far as Democrats. What I see down the road, even past 2016, is 2018, when U.S. Senator Dean Heller, a Republican, runs for re-election. The candidate that opposed him last year, Shelley Berkley, she didn't really do a very good job up here, and he won by a small margin. But you give Democrats 6 years to grow their base, bada bang, that's going to be a tough race.
It will be, and it gets down to star power. I've often argued that, especially in Nevada in recent years, my analysis is that Republicans haven't lost as much, or have won as much as Democrats have lost. They haven't put a strong candidate up, and you always have a choice of column A or column B, and so Republicans have won. And we all rush in and say, it was a great race. And it wasn't. Actually, Republican candidates have real problems with identifying issues, running on those issues, and winning on those issues. But if you're up against a weak candidate, it makes it a lot easier. But you're spot on in that process, and there seems to be star power coming up in the Democratic Party just at the right time. And so it'll be very interesting to see how the 2014 elections go. If a number of these people obviously should win their constitutional races. And I frankly think the Republican Party in the state of Nevada has to be very worried about its future, short-term and medium-term. It is basically destroying itself, and we are going to become a dominant Democratic state.
Now, is the canary in the coal mine the Joe Heck Aaron Bilbray race?
Very much could be. That could be a real test because, you know, Heck has come and gone and come back again.
And it's a very tight district.
It is. And ironically, a district maybe the way districts are supposed to be, not safe districts. That's been the real problem. You know, there's a national movement now to get us to all do what California is doing and get away from the politics of drawing lines and actually do it, you know, basically on the population distribution, so that we don't get these safe seats and don't get these core of Tea Party types or liberal types that so seem to be screwing up our national politics. Same is true at the state level. But clearly that is the definitive race in the county that is already so Democratic. And people are moving back into the state again and moving mostly into Clark County. So even the number of people that come in, where they come from, and how they change the balances in such a close district like that, that is a benchmark district.
You know, you were talking about Sandoval moving to the middle. Where I think he's moved to the middle is setting up this Nevada Insurance Exchange as opposed to all the problems with the national Obamacare. Nevadans are off pretty well if they need insurance to go to the Nevada Insurance Exchange. How is that going to factor in if he did indeed run against Harry Reid?
Well, I personally was very impressed by his actions on this issue, and when I've been asked, I've lauded him for it. It would have been, the easy way out would have been to take the Republican tactic of, you know, trying to stymie and defeat Obamacare at every move and set them up for failure. Part of what we're seeing unfold in Washington today is a result of kind of that Republican mentality. But Sandoval recognized he has over 600,000 people in Nevada that need health care. And he did, in my mind, the right thing. He parked the politics and looked at what was important for Nevada, an opportunity for Nevada, was willing to be a team player with the Democratic administration in Washington. And if they've changed the rules, that's not Brian Sandoval's fault. He did all the right things, and Nevadans, I think, are better off for what he did. That is the kind of politicians we need going forward to sort of stop the political agenda and start doing what our voters, what our citizens need. If we do that, we are going to be a better state. We're going to be a better country.
Okay, but do you not think that Brian Sandoval has always been a moderate, right-of-center person in all of his dealings, and despite the campaign where he was forced because of the politics of the day to be on the extreme right of Jim Gibbons, which made no sense at the time, but again, you could never get him off message, but he's just continued to be in the Kenny Gwynn mold, a moderate right of center politician.
Kenny was always a lot more open about it. I think that Sandoval's has been a far more subtle approach, but I want to believe that that is the accurate analysis, because what Nevadans need is a moderate to moderate right Republican. If the party got that message, they would be far more successful in elections and would find far more Democrats willing to cross over.
And that's where we got to leave it. Didn't even get to the independents. We'll be talking more about this. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Very little happens without trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers, dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, and we're going to have great guests all week, so we'll see you on the next broadcast.